You're listening to Making Life Brighter Radio, and I'm your host, Winifred Adams. And today we've had special guest Joey Herrick, and he is here with Lucy Pet Foundation and Lucy Pet Foods Products, Inc. And you can find that on Amazon.com. You can find it at some of your local retailers, and you can ask for it at your local retailers if you like. But he's described to us what makes superior pet food in the industry. And if you didn't hear that show, go back to the archives on the radio page on the player at makinglifebrighter.com. You can also subscribe on iTunes worldwide under Winifred Adams, and you can find us at voiceamerica.com on the health and wellness channel. So if you'd like to check out that show, check it out there. But welcome back, Joey, and we are going to continue our conversation about pet food and yours specifically. So let's jump back in. Let's talk a little bit about where we were when we left off. You were talking about what this does for gut health and what this is doing for animals. So what are people saying about this food? What's the feedback you're getting?
Well, we're getting testimonials, you know, every day about how it changed their dog's life. But here's the very interesting one. There's a trainer named Brandon McMillan who's on a show on CBS called Lucky Dog. He's on Saturday mornings. And so I know him. So when I started this, I called him up and said, "Hey, Brandon, I'm coming back into the pet industry to lead it one more time, and I'd like you to try some products." And he said, "Sure, bring it over." I did not know at the time that he had a German Shepherd he was having problems with. Because what the show is, he gets a dog out of the shelter, and then he trains it for a specific purpose for a family. He was training this German Shepherd for a post-traumatic stress soldier. Well, ends up he's spending $350 to $400 a month on this dog after several months for food, because the dog has horrible stools all the time. They're giving him flagyl, shots, prescription diets, nothing works. He puts them on our food, and it cleared up the problem. They did an ultrasound on the dog and found out that the dog had an unusually thick stomach-like lining, which was getting in the way of absorbing nutrients, but not when he went on Lucy Pet. So because of that, Brandon McMillan became a believer in Lucy Pet, and he's very involved with us today.
That's fantastic. So what does he do for your foundation and for your company now?
Well, he's like on days he'll come out to the spay-neuter bus. You know, we've done stuff with Gail Anderson, Channel 5 News. So and she's a big Brandon McMillan fan. So Brandon will come out to the bus when we're doing, you know, the surgeries and stuff. And, you know, so he's always doing something to promote healthy animals.
That's fantastic. That's so, so cool to hear. You know, I've seen the difference, like I said in the show, with my own dog, and I've only seen it within 1 week. I saw it just, he started it, and a week later, boy, everything changed. He's sleeping better. He's more calm. He eats better, and he goes to the bathroom better. Everything's better.
Brandon was telling me that he likes it better, not only because it cleared up some of the stool problems he had with some dogs, but the dogs are more attentive when he tries to train them. Because, you know, if they got a healthy gut, it's the same as us. Then they're healthier, and their mental's better, everything's better.
Yeah, and so what is the most popular product you have?
Well, it's our duck, pumpkin, and quinoa. That's our number one selling food, yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Well, people like it. And because they like to see their dogs like it, and they see the the response to it. All the foods have Dr. Fahey's magic potion stuff, so it's all there. And then, you know, the duck and potato, which is a limited ingredient diet, which I started, you know, many, many years ago, that clears up a lot of problems too. And, you know, the formulas are just correct. This whole thing about Lucy, I've been through it for 30 years. I know who's lying. I know who's not going to supply the right stuff, and I know the pitfalls to avoid. What really bothers me in the pet industry is people coming out with formulas that have no scientific backing to it. Like, I really hate high-protein diets, yet people keep coming out with high-protein diets. How dare you? Because it's been scientifically proven that it is not good for a dog. High protein is not even really good for us. There's white
more pigment. Acid. And more.
Well, what happens like with a dog? So I don't know about your dogs, but my dog's not. You know, they're not really pulling sleds all day long, right? So how much protein do they need? So maybe you know, this particular day they need 20% protein. Well, some of these diets, they're getting fed 40% protein. Well, where does the other 20% protein goes? It's been proven that it goes down into the large intestine, you know, the bowel, where it actually changes and converts into ammonia and four other very dangerous toxic chemicals and been linked with people to colon cancer. So why in the world would you feed a high protein to a dog and come out with it to begin with? This is something that's going on when I used to own my other company. You know, 20 years ago, it was, you know, high protein. And I did all the research then and couldn't find one good thing of high protein for the normal dog.
Let's take my dog, for example, who was feral. He was a wild dog down in Brazil. And, you know, he'd eat anything he could get a hold of. And he's particularly fond of rabbits. And he still is. But luckily, we haven't caught any. So if he were to only consume, like, say, a rabbit, isn't that all protein?
Well, I tell you, he'd only eat certain parts of that rabbit. And what's really interesting when you start getting into raw food, and I understand raw food. I fed most every zoo in the country raw food, lions, tigers, polar bears, fed them all. So I understand raw. Raw to a dog today is just not right. First of all, it's very dangerous because of all the different bacterias. There's actually a raw pet food company right now petitioning the FDA to allow them to have salmonella in their raw food.
What? Why? How that defies?
It defies any kind of logic at all. I mean, look at raw for us. You know, a lot of raw people say, oh, well, kibble cooks all the nutrients out. No, it doesn't. Hey, when I put my turkey in the oven for 7 hours on Thanksgiving, I eat that, there's no nutrients. My food is cooked every day. You think there's no nutrients? Of course there's nutrients. That's something that they use. But the bacteria danger is really, really serious.
And so when you did this with zoos, what was your premise? How did you handle that?
Well, with zoos, I mean, we fed raw diets because it's a lion, you know. And, you know, dogs are not.
What did you feed them?
They came to the San Diego Zoo, called me years ago and said, we want to elevate zoo nutrition and we use some of your products. Would you help us elevate zoo nutrition? Because in those days, they were feeding horse meat. They said, we do not want to feed horse meat anymore. So we actually put the lions, tigers, polar bears into a beef diet.
I saw that actually in person when I was shooting one of my music videos. I went to a place where they had rescue tigers. They actually had apparently Mike Tyson's tiger.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
But they had taken out all his claws and he limped because he couldn't walk anymore.
Yeah.
And so what they did there, which was a little shocking at first, is all the lame animals in the nearby neighborhoods would be brought over and they were going to be put down anyway. So they'd go out back and they'd put them down and then they'd get them in a backhoe after they kind of sawed them up and put them over the fence for the tigers and the lions to eat. Now, there is a very primal experience if you ever wanted to see one.
Yeah.
That's amazing power, and you watch what these animals do with this. But you're talking about more of a domesticated animal. It has nothing to do. There's a vast difference in what they're consuming and how they run.
You know, you see all the ads when you're your dog descended from the wolf. Well, yeah, your dog did descend from the wolf 12,000 years ago. It fries me that the nerve of these people to actually come out and say your dog is a wolf. That changed 12,000 years ago, right? And there's actually 36 specific DNA traits that make the dog different than the wolf. And 10 of those DNA traits that is genetically it's in the animal are in digestion. So a dog can take a carbohydrate,
yeah,
right, and extract all the glucose it needs out of it for brain function and overall body health way easier than it can a piece of meat. Yet certain companies don't even like to tell you that. They want to ignore that science.
So what's in wet food?
Well, canned dog food?
Yes.
Listen, I tell you, there is a place for canned dog food. I refer to canned dog food as the art of making water stand still, because it is actually, I mean, I would never, I wouldn't feed, and we actually are finally coming out with our canned dog food because people want it, but I wouldn't feed canned dog food to a big dog because you would need, you know, 10, 12 cans of dog food. You know, your little rugrats, you know, including my wife, you know, they like to feed them some canned dog food.
And so is that actually healthy for them? I mean, are you saying that the dry food that you have could actually sustain them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, dry food really is a marvel, because there's and people vary on this, but there's anywhere from 45 to 48 essential nutrients that have to be in your dog's food. And a kibble made correctly has it all in there. So every kibble, if it's made correctly, has all the nutrients that your dog needs. Now, that's why, like, cooking for your dog is really not a good thing. I mean, people get so frustrated, because especially when you hear all the recalls and pet food companies and fraud and all kinds of stuff, if they start cooking for themselves. But the problem with that is, there's, you know, how are you going to get those 46 essential nutrients in your dog's food?
Right.
You can't.
Right. Now, I know you have pet treats, so tell us a little bit about what the treats are made of and why they're so wonderful and what is it that they love about them?
Well, the treats are, you know, really good ingredients going in, limited treats, not a lot of ingredients, and they're made right here in Southern California, so everything's so made here.
It's local and you have control over it.
Yeah, yeah.
And will you have, there's this debate right now about rawhide, no rawhide. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I don't like rawhide.
Why?
So, because especially I know Dr. Halligan, who's our chief veterinary officer, she's had dogs come in that swallow rawhide and it's got to do surgery on them. So she's not a big fan of rawhide. I've never ever let my dogs chew on rawhide.
Okay. And so will you come out with other, like, bones and you know, those sort of nutritious chewy bones that they have?
Well, we'll look, as we get bigger, we'll look at things. But the one thing we will never do is come out with a product that is harmful to an animal.
So where are you going with this company?
I want this to become a very big, successful company. I want it to help fuel more spay and neuter buses around the country. But most important, like days I get a little, you know, down, you know, everybody has ups and downs. And I have no reason ever, ever, ever to be down for a second. How dare I, the audacity of me to be down for a second. Because I shouldn't, because I'm a very lucky person to even survive that nightclub fire years ago. But whenever I do, I just look at my dogs. And my dogs come to me, and then I get very angry that they're the ones that depend on us, trust us, give us unconditional love, and we're trying to do the best for them. I'm always... And so are the people who are buying pet food bags. They listen to that marketing BS, and they go buy something that inside the industry, everybody knows those formulas are horrible. But yet the marketing thing is so strong, people are buying it. For a lot of money. Yet the nutritionists in the industry, the smart guys, are going, holy moly. That irks me.
And understandably so. If you know that to be true, I told you a story at break about the herb industry, and there's a certain company that, you know, they throw the whole vat out when they test for dirt and bugs, and other companies that you know of that you go and buy off the shelf in your local herb store or Whole Foods or whatever is buying up those reject vats.
Yep.
And that's what happens.
Yep. Here's an interesting story. It's a little long, but you can cut it up. Here's an interesting story. So a friend of mine calls me and says, will you have lunch with my friend's father? He's got a product for your new pet food that he thinks is going to be great for it. I said, yeah, sure, no problem. So I go to lunch. And it was a really like this guy, great guy, but I didn't like his idea so much. So what he does is he goes to, Edelman's Donuts. He goes to the donut factories and gets all the outdated boxed donuts. He goes to the pizza companies, the frozen pizza companies. He gets all the outdated pizzas and stuff. He goes to the candy companies and gets all the outdated candies in a box. Doesn't matter. He gets all this stuff. He heats it up to 900 degrees, turns it into a powder. He bags it off, and he sells it to the cattle industry. And it's called dried bakery product, and they use it to fatten up the cattle before slaughter. So I was telling that story to a very dear friend of mine, Jerry, who's been with me since Natural Balance days, and he knows all the inner workings of the ingredients in the pet food industry. So I told him that story, and he says to me, well, if you don't like that, you're not going to like this. I said, what, Jerry? And he says, and he told me this company, a big chicken processing company. So he goes, when they feed the chickens don't process the protein. So what happens is when the chickens poop, right, That protein goes out the back end. They come and scoop it all back up, dry it, pelletize it, sanitize it, and send it back to the cattle as a feed, right? So the cattle's eating it. So I was telling that story at a trade show, and these couple guys, and the one young guy said, "Mr. Herrick, you're missing part of the story." I said, "Please, tell me what I'm missing." And he says, "I grew up on a chicken ranch. My father was a chicken processor. We also put wood shavings down thin to soak up the urine, and that gets mixed with the chicken poop and all dried, pelletized, and sent back to cattle."
That's so disgusting. So, oh my God.
I actually looked online, and if you type in cows eat chicken poop, yeah, there's all kinds of stories, or the other stuff's dried bakery product. And then I said to my friend, I said, "Hey, I'm doing a radio show, and I want to talk about that. And, not going to say the company, I just want to talk about the industry in general." But I said, "I don't want to go on the radio show, and this is like 15-year-old news, and they don't do that anymore. I don't want to, look like an idiot here." And he said, "Oh, okay, I'll find out." So he calls me back and says, "Yep, I talked to him." And the first thing he said to me was, "They don't do it as much anymore."
Right. Like, that makes it better.
He said, "But they still do a container a month. And the reason why they only do a container a month for feed is because they can make more money selling organic manure."
There's just something wrong with that thinking all the way around. It's all based on commerce with no consciousness in it. And you're making pet food with conscious choices about what's going in it.
Well, I tell you, you wonder why, we have the health issues that we have.
Exactly. And we're going after heart disease as a number one killer and all these other things. Well, you're inputting and taking on what these animals are inputting as well.
Of course. Well, the saying is, if you believe the saying, you are what you eat.
Right.
Does that translate to what the animals that we are eating are eating?
Yeah, exactly. Now, you make cat food as well, right?
We do.
And tell us a little bit about your cat food line.
Yeah, well, it still has Dr. Fahey's, 40 years of research in every bag. So everything is based around Dr. Fahey and gut health.
Dry food and wet food?
The dry food's been out, and we're going to add another formula. And then the canned samples actually just came in, so we're working that right now.
Well, I'll be nice on this show and just tell you for the record that my cat developed tremendous allergies probably about the time you ended your stint with Natural Balance at some point. It was sometime after that. And it was so bad, I took her to the vet, and they wanted to put her on a special formula, but nothing was working. And I literally moved her out of state just to give her a rest, actually. But she was having tremendous allergies overall from the food that she was intaking as well.
Well, that it happens. And what's really sad, like right now, a few weeks ago, there was a thing that came out with 13 foods from class action lawyers that got caught up for fraud. And part of the fraud with four companies was their lamb and rice product also had pork, chicken, and beef in it, right? So actually, Dr. Halligan went on KTLA because KTLA called and they wanted to do a segment on that. So Dr. Halligan was talking about, as a vet, what happens as a vet when things like that, because there was an animal that they did a panel on and found out that the dog was allergic to pork and beef. So the vet says, "Okay, just put it on lamb and rice. You can get a, we can sell you something, or you can just go to the pet store, but get a lamb and rice diet." So the lady went to the pet store to get a lamb and rice diet. So now she's feeding lamb and rice. Well, brings the dog back, 2.5 weeks later. It's the same friggin' problem. So now the veterinarian is going, "Well, wait a minute. I did the panel on this. Boy, did I miss this?" So now the vet's thinking like, "Boy, do I look stupid in front of my client? I said this should clear it up, and it's not clearing it up." So the vet's, trying to figure out what's next. What do I do? Well, it's because the dog was eating the lamb and rice diet, but it also had pork and beef in it, which the dog is allergic to.
There you go. See, it's not pure. It's not what it says, right?
Well, that's why the class action lawyers got on it, and they're going to, you know, these companies will get sued. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, look how bad it makes your vet look.
Well, what's going on with the whole, yeah, absolutely.
And your dog isn't doing well. Right. I mean, who wants to see their dog with welts and stuff?
Right, no. There's too many things that are already toxic in our environment. We don't need the food to be as well.
Yeah.
So what about the heart swelling that's going on in dogs right now?
Yeah, it's DCM. Well, that's actually, DCM is why, 25 years ago, started putting, was the first person to put taurine in pet food in my old company. And I tell you, this is really very interesting, this whole thing. And it's going to be interesting to really see how it all shakes out. There's actually a lawsuit brought on by a company to the FDA, to a couple other pet food companies who they think are responsible for it. Some of the bigger boys, I don't know about that. I mean, what's really interesting is, the FDA came out with certain things, and some people say that there just wasn't enough data, scientific data, to come out with that kind of stuff. When you have 600 cases and you have 70 million dogs, well, where's your baseline for what was going on? What's really interesting is, they originally put potatoes at the top. Well, I'm the guy that pioneered potatoes. I never had a problem for 25 years. Why now? Well, maybe they're putting cheap stuff in, or if you go to Europe, they're using potatoes, legumes, peas, and they don't have a heart problem there. Mm. Why do they not have a heart problem there and we have it here? So what's the real truth of the matter? I mean, because you think if it's an ingredient, legumes, peas, potatoes, you'd have the problem there.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have it there. You have it here. So what is it really? So I said from the very beginning when it first came out, I said, they need to be looking at formulas. And I said, there's three things that are causing this. And if you actually go to the list that the FDA came out with, I mean, the top five foods named on the list have most of the problems, right? And the formulas have to be right. And here's a big deal. And I tell anybody, you're concerned? I mean, the reason grain-free started was because dogs had problems with grains. There was allergicness going on.
Even
to rice and all kinds of stuff. So that's why grain-free started. Somebody just didn't start grain-free for no reason. They started it because dogs were allergic to grains. So I tell people, look, there's nothing wrong with grains. There's nothing wrong with grain-free. As long as there's three things in play here. One, the formula has to be right, first thing. If the formula is not right, then you got a problem to begin with. And part of the problems today with formulas, I'm very fortunate because I've been in the business for so long that I have Dr. Fahey and Dr. Thompson doing formulas. Somebody just coming up, you don't get those. So I tell people, look, do the research. Find out who's making the formulas. You ask that company, who's making your formulas? If you got somebody who's been out of college with a master's degree in animal science for 6 or 7 years, I mean, I wouldn't have them formulate my food because they don't know.
They don't have the track record.
They don't have the track record. They haven't been through all the stuff through all the years. Just like I've been doing this 30 years, I know what suppliers are bad. I know the tricks that they do because I had to live through all that stuff. So once you live through that stuff, you learn. So I think there's an issue with formulation that needs to be checked out.
Couldn't that be done at a legal level? It sounds to me like they're getting by and doing this, and it's just not even appropriate.
Well, I tell you, there's a lot of lawsuits getting started now.
There'll be huge class action lawsuits coming on for that type of thing if everyone comes to find out that these things are being inappropriately represented, number one, or filled with other things that are not supposed to be in there, number two.
Well, there you go. I would never do a food with somebody came out with something with 8 protein sources. You got any data to back up 8 protein sources? How does all that stuff interact on a daily basis that your dogs eat? I guarantee there's no papers on how 8 protein sources. So why do that?
So you keep it simple, essentially, and
you're clean.
You got
to do proven stuff. But see, there's three things that make a kibble. I think kibble is the best way you can go. But and that's a big but. Only if these three things are in place. One, that formula has to be correct, and there's a lot to it with the proteins and the fats and the carbs and how it all meshes together. So that's first. All right, the next thing that has to be right to make kibble better than anything on the market is the ingredients going in have to be right.
Yeah.
They got to be good ingredients. Is it the crap off the floor? Or is it
real? Is it real ingredient that you're paying for?
Yeah. So is that in there? And then the third thing, say you have the first two things. So you have a great formula and you're using great ingredients. You can still get killed if the machine operator doesn't know how to work the machine correctly. So you need to have all three of those components. If you do, your kibble will be phenomenal. If you're missing any one of those components, you got an issue.
And so how do you do quality control on that? How do you handle that personally?
Well, I tell you, either myself or my partner, Rick Rockhill, we're always at the plant when they run. We always go down just to watch them run, although I trust the plant that runs. It's very interesting because Dr. Fahey and the plant that's making our food is right here in Irwindale, California. And when Dr. Fahey and I got together, he didn't want any money. He didn't want anything. He didn't ask for anything except two things. One, certain manufacturing plants you can't use. He said, I've never put my name next to a company, even though I've done all the work. I've always been behind the scenes. I don't want my name associated to certain plants.
Wow, that says a lot.
That says a lot. And so he told me what they were. I said, sounds good. And then if I change suppliers for anything, he needs to have the okay on which supplier.
Fantastic. So, well, that's quality control right there.
So, I mean, that's a very important point.
And so what's your passion within all this?
You know, this has actually come down to, and see, you're too young, so you don't understand.
Thank you. That's the only thing I'll say is thank you.
But you get to a certain point. I mean, I've always rolled a certain way and wanted to make the best and be proud of what I do. Then you get to the point where, okay, what do you want to be known for? So what you start, and it just happens naturally. Until you get to a certain age, you don't understand it, but it just happens. And it's like, okay, what is my legacy? Is it I built three successful companies, made money? Hey, proud of that. But what does it really mean? Doesn't really mean a whole lot. But am I the guy that actually came back into the industry and cleaned up the industry and actually made animals' lives better? Well, you know what? I'm doing that with the foundation. Proud that we've done 26,000 free spay and neuters, and with the help of City of Los Angeles and the Petco Foundation, because they're part of all this. So that's terrific, and so that's the big thing for me.
That says something really, and I would say that your love of music and your drumming was just the discipline in the middle.
Well, you know it is. I mean, I was always practicing when I was young, and when I went through the nightclub fire and started thinking about living life, I just took all that focus, which was, you know, my dad gave me, which was you practice, you practice, you practice, you practice. So I just took all that focus and put it right into business, whatever I did. And pets, I just love. I love my dogs. You know, I love my cats. I mean, we have the only surfing cat I've ever seen.
You have a surfing cat?
We have a surfing cat. And he, Ricky, I rescued him out of the shelter. Because nobody wanted him. So I took him. But he's a great cat.
So you took him surfing and he just, what, stands on the board?
Or? Well, no, he surfs. I built the only portable wave machine in the world.
Of course.
So if, did you ever see the Rose Parade floats with the surfing dogs? Well, that's me. So I
interviewed Bob Eubanks, by the way.
Oh, Bob was great. Yeah. I actually just saw him at Bonds.
So, we love Bob.
Yeah, Bob's terrific. And
you got to hook up with Bob now because for animal, creating animal exercise machines, because he's just launched this amazing machine that's supposed to get your core balance back.
Yeah, you stand on this thing and you rock back and forth. You right. Brought it over to the office. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I didn't want to get it because I thought I'd fall. But it's actually a very cool machine. And you know what? It helped Bob get through his problem.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so there's merit to that. Seriously, I'm talking about for like vets and rehab and stuff like that. They need it too.
Yeah, no, he could probably put that concept into pets too.
So, you know, it begs the question. First of all, your cat was a surfing cat and you love your animals and you are a pioneer in the industry all the way around. But what makes your life brighter overall?
Well, I mean, you know, my kids, you know, Dylan and Bailey, so I want to see them be successful with their things. That's really cool.
Following in the footsteps of Dad's music.
You know, I mean, I like that. And
Well, you have to plug him a little bit. Tell him what you told me.
Well, he's just kind of like me with, I can do this, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's actually, even when he was a little kid in elementary school and then junior high, they all said, you know, he's going to be a writer. I don't, I'm thinking writing books or copy for People magazine. I don't know. It turns out he's a songwriter. And so he's doing very well with that. He wrote a song that's already got 7.2 million streams on Spotify with not really any marketing. He said to me, you know, look, listen, I want to sing. I said, well, you're not a singer. You know, and so he started taking singing lessons. The next thing I know, he goes to Nashville, he records this two songs, and comes back. It was like really impressed that he went out and shot a video. So he's figured out how to market that, and the songs are really good.
And one of them's called 2707. Explain that.
His cousin is a policeman, and he said, hey, you ought to write a song about 27007, which is excessive noise, you know, vehicle. And so, that's a good idea. So he wrote a song about excessive noise in a vehicle, and then shot a video on it.
And you can find it on Spotify or on iTunes?
Well, it's on Spotify. I think it's on iTunes, too, and it's on YouTube.
You know. And the other one's called Just Friends, right?
Well, there's another
TV show?
Yeah, there's a YouTube show called Malibu Surf, which my daughter is on, and then this other girl, Allie Barron, is on the show. And her dad came to me and said, could Dylan write a song for the show? I said, yeah, just call him. So he called Dylan and said, hey, can you write a song? And the premise for the song is Allie likes this boy, but the boy has a girlfriend, so they can't date. And so he writes this song, and that's the one that's 7.2 million stream. It just keeps growing.
And, that's awesome. Yeah. And it's called Just Friends.
Just Friends. Allie Barron is the singer.
That's awesome. Oh, well, I wish him the best. I hope that he succeeds quickly. It sounds like he's already on his way, actually.
You know, yeah, he's determined to do it. And, you know, like any parent, what's the number one thing you want most? You want your kids to find something that they're passionate about and enjoy their whole life. You know, so between, you know, that and my dogs. I love my dogs.
Well, we love that you're passionate about our dogs and want to say thank you for being here and thank you for coming on Making Life Brighter Radio. And if you guys missed the entire show, you can go back to the archives. You can find it on makinglifebrighter.com on the radio page and on the player. And you can go to iTunes worldwide and subscribe there. And you can also go to check out voiceamerica.com on the health and wellness channel, and you'll find makinglifebrighter.com there. So thank you so much. Thanks for listening. Go jolly, everybody, and wishing you a fantastic week. We'll be back next week more with Russell J. Gould, and we are going to dissect Bitcoin next week. So stay tuned. Go jolly. Thank you for coming, Joey.
Hey, my pleasure.